is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Is sponsored by Commonwealth Bank, Burger King, CFAL, Ron's Electric Motors, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services, Wendy's, and J.S. Johnson.
Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We got several things to talk about today. We're going to talk about this latest Privy Council ruling and what that could mean moving forward for a lot of conveyances that have happened over the past few years. We're going to talk about life in a tent. That's the headline of today's Nassau Guardian about a gentleman in Abaco who's still struggling to get by. And also, we got the FNM convention that kicks off tomorrow. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's going to be at Atlantis. I did wonder yesterday what the $200,000 was about, and they told me that's the cost of ballroom space, that's the cost of rooms and board, and feeding everybody so that they can elect the deputy leader, the chairman, and numerous other posts in the Free National Movement. To discuss the convention with me in studio, we have, for this first segment, Senator Ruben Ramming. Former member of parliament for Pinewood, former excellency to CARICOM, right? Ambassador to CARICOM. All right. So the convention starts tomorrow, and a lot of people are wondering what it is that they're going to get from a convention, particularly a three-day convention where the actual leadership is not in contention. And people wonder, is it a case of the FNM looking back and defending its last term in office, or is it a case of the FNM moving forward, squaring away some of the things they maybe want to acknowledge that didn't go properly? It's going to be a combination of both. What should we expect?
Well, we should expect clearly, as the team would express, the process of the gathering is like a fellowship, not just also a convention. I think you would have known that actually both political parties would have had a long stay since they had conventions.
Correct.
For varying reasons. And so this really, apart from what may have happened during the election, may have been the only time you bring the band back together, per se. And so in the spirit of it, above and beyond being a convention, as the theme say, it's a time of unity, moving forward in unity. This election expressed a whole lot of things, and one of the greatest things about the election, information-wise, is the fact that the base did not mobilize as we would have expected.
Correct.
In
yeah.
the whole. A win is a win is a win is a win is a win, but the statistics will show that basically what they won by, the PLP won by about, 6,000 more votes?
Yeah, it was really...
And so, in a sense, and again, I respect a win is a win is a win. But in a sense, it shows that, I mean, numerically, there's no mandate because everybody didn't get engaged. But
correct.
We need to learn that is your duty. It is your constitutional duty as a citizen to participate because, quite frankly, not voting is the same as voting. Mm. The first one, by going to the ballot box, you could determine it.
Right.
By not going to the ballot box, it's being determined without you.
Right.
You
yeah.
see what I'm saying? And so that is one crucial point. The theme in itself is forward united, honoring the past, celebrating achievements, and charting the future. And it is in that vein with each one of those points that the convention will focus on that in terms of communication, its ultimate objective, and even the motivate persons that in their selection of persons whom they would elect, that they would consider that as well. Mm-hmm. That when you decide you're going to vote for X, Y, Z, remember that we need to keep an anchor into our heritage. We need to understand and celebrate our achievements, understand where we came short, and these persons will be tasked with moving the party forward.
Right. Now, I definitely agree with you that there's a great deal of self-reflection that the party probably has gone through in the past few months and yes. would like to go through, but I wouldn't suggest they go through forever.
No.
In terms of the erosion of support that happened between elections. And of course, having a pandemic contributed to it, Hurricane Dorian contributed to it, but also the responses to those things as well had to contribute to it. So in your estimation, has the FNM done a proper post-mortem of what happened and can admit some of those things to themselves and try to build upon what was lost?
One thing I like about the party, even if I'm going to be in, being a part of it, is you got to be realist. You got to face reality. Mm. And, you know, G.I. Joe say knowing is half the battle. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if you chart a course on a delusion,
right, yeah.
You lost before right. you even start.
Right. Yeah.
Christopher Columbus got lost, but at least you know where to find home.
Right. Yeah.
You know? So in any event, in other words, you must now accept where you are. You mark that point in your history, because it is history. It's never going to go away. And how they say, if you forget your past, you're bound to repeat it again. Let it sink in sufficiently. But don't torture yourself to make you incapable of forward movement.
Correct. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But look at it. Look the tiger in the eye and say, what in the heaven and earth
what
happened?
Right, yeah.
And then you, as a reminder, say, this will not happen again.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And then you listen to the heart. The good thing about it, I guess there's no good thing about it, because I agree with Fred Mitchell on one point that the best day in opposition is worse. The worst day in governance is better than the best day
best
in opposition.
Day opposition.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Right.
So that is very interesting. So there have been several postmortems and discussions and weighing out. I think we're still in that time of reflecting, because you want to touch base with everybody and get a good feel and so on and so forth. And then there has to be an additional phase of interaction, because when you look at the past, now you need to see how the current change can adapt. You got to prove to the person that these
right.
new slates. So after convention. And that's why it's so important, and I encourage persons listening. When you go on a lek and, you know, this my boy thing and my friend thing, and, you know, he hooked me up here, there, and he hooked me up there. We need persons who, by nature, naturally can express the things that we know the people need.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you can put in place a person, and they may have a disposition that may not be consistent with the heart and soul of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And so when doing that, then after the convention, now that you can see the new slate, the new leadership team in completeness, now they have a job to now go back again as the new leadership team. See, they got to understand, you got to do this twice.
Right.
It happened after the loss. You did that. We had the former leader was still in place. We did the leader one, leadership one. But y'all, guess what? It ain't just the leaders, all us.
Right.
So now when we restructure it now, we need to help our base to appreciate that you see this new cadre of persons. They are here because they have learned, they know, and to ensure that this does not, again, whatever would have disenchanted you. But I think the thing about it, Vaughn, that will almost guarantee that, barring some plague from Armageddon, that the situation that surrounded it really cut to the core of people. And you know what they say, hurting people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at it, there were a lot of good things done.
Yeah.
But the problem is the one thing that people hurt, and they just hurt. And you
right.
become the poster boy. I'll give a quick example. I said in the House Assembly, I took my child to the doctor. This was Rasheen, to get her shot. You know, you got to get, they something to get about 6 or 9 immunization shots.
Mm-hmm.
And I took him to the doctor. I took her to the doctor. I holding her for the doctor.
Right.
And when the doctor stick my child, I was inches away from punching him in
right.
the face.
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
And my child's like, woo!
Yeah.
You know, so the spirit and the heart of people is very, very important. But they also got to realize good governance is important, like good parenting. You mm-hmm. have to do things your children may not understand till they start paying bills and holding the door, seeing their children holding the fridge door open long right. and everything else until they reach that point. But governance is a lot like parenting. And that's where we need to be. And so the assessments have been done. And from my understanding is there will be another formal one. Maybe they're doing statistical stuff and all that okay. additional stuff.
Right.
But I can truly say to the Bahamian people, we got your memo.
Yeah. I think what's interesting about the FNM is, well, let me say what's interesting about the FNM and the PLP, but particularly the FNM, since the FNM got the short end of the stick in the last election, is that the FNM didn't spend a lot of time wallowing in self-pity. It seemed to very quickly be able to say, okay, we lost. Let's deal with that, mm-hmm. right, as best we can. Menes, you know, he took a few weeks, but he won't be running for leadership again. We need new leadership. Whether what goes on behind the scenes, I'm not 100% clear on, but he's realized that he's no longer publicly, I could see, leader of the party. Mm-hmm. And so the party has new leadership, and the donors and the backbone of the party seem to solidify behind Pintard. And now it seems as though the party's trying to figure out moving forward where we go from here. So you got deputy chairman, you got deputy leader, you got chairman, you got vice chairman, and deputy chairman, and very important positions moving forward. Who do you believe best places the FNM to move forward on a trajectory to work together so there's not this sort of fracturing that we saw during the last administration with the party? And who you believe really speaks to the Bahamian people in terms of they can see someone helping them to build this future?
Yeah. Well, you said a lot of things, and I hope the public actually heard me in a very succinct way. Actually, for the first or maybe second time, we saw the Westminster system operating. So whether you like Dr. Hubert Minnis or not, you saw the move of a statesman.
Right.
You know, if you lose an election, it is actually a type of no confidence in a referendum on also on the leadership, and the proper thing you do is you step down.
Right.
You see? Even if you step down, you know, whatever else you do later, but that's the initial thing you offer that.
Right.
In that regard. We've not seen that done before, even in the previous party. We saw even Prime Minister Ingram did it.
Ingram did it. Christie took a couple times.
You know,
but
you know.
He eventually got there.
Now, as it relates to him being in Parliament, that's a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. Being a loser as a prime minister is one thing. Then you lose, you stop, you let that go.
Right.
But your constituency chose you. Mm-hmm. So that's confidence there. So it is proper and it is his choice to stay on
right.
in that regard because it's called an election. We have a good cadre of persons, actually, a good base. All of them I probably would not personally agree with because... you know, and I sure like everybody else, you feel this person is best or that person is best. That's why I like this overall process. But we have a very, very good cadre. We have a lot of seasoned persons. We have a lot of persons who are reasonably new to the game. I'm glad to see. And this is not an endorsement. I would not use the party platform to handpick individuals. I only call in names generally. I wouldn't even call names. There are some individuals that would have just come into politics in the last term and they want to continue on. So that's good. That I commend them for that. The thing interesting about elections, even under the loss of the PLP, which was catastrophic for them, we need to understand, you know, that the Bahamian people, for the most part, vote on leadership or what they feel. Mm-hmm. Because the PLP themselves had some wonderful MPs. And you just the baby going with the bath.
Everyone's
water.
Right. You know?
We had some wonderful member of parliaments, but that's just the sentiment. I think, how do they say, live with your wife according to knowledge? The Bible say that.
Mm-hmm.
Your politics need to be according to knowledge with the people.
Right.
You need to find someone who the person's people would appeal to and understand that, then have a good team behind it. We have a lot of new faces. We have persons who aren't even part of, say, Central Council, persons who are outside the mix, wanting to put their hand in their eye, F&Ms, but it makes me feel good that this is going to be a hotly contested race. Mm-hmm. We sometimes look, just as you said, with the big six, you know, the chairman, the deputy leader, and the two deputy chairmen, and so on and so forth. Right. But those other persons are very, very important. We can't afford to have even the trustee just there so he could be on council.
Correct.
So yeah. He get voted in. All right. He's sitting there, I don't care no more. It really has to be all hands on deck. Mm-hmm. So the job of the leader is not only to appeal to the public, exactly as his job is not only to appeal to his leadership team. Mm-hmm. It got to be across the board. He got to be all things to everyone. He must be able to motivate these teams of persons who will be elected to step up to their plates, especially reaching out into the family islands. And our family islands are not just individual islands. They're almost individual countries, right. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
because the way Cat Island would take approach is different from how Andrews would take approach.
Right.
Some are very clannish, some are different. And maybe quite, I think it may be fair to say all of them don't quite like Nassau too much because he all only think y'all is this, y'all is this.
Correct.
So yeah. We need to understand that there are factions even in the Bohemian diaspora mm-hmm. at home.
Absolutely.
And how to manage that. So Vaughn, what we need to step up to the plate to do, I think the most important thing is for people to know we feel you and we hear you. Then navigate through some of the things that persons may be blinded to in terms of the achievements because of the frustration generated by COVID and say, but you need to understand this still happened. I operated on you. I took your heart out your chest. I rebuilt your heart. But yes, you have a centipede scar all down your mm-hmm. down your chest, but you're alive. That may sound true, a little difficult, but the reality is when you go through things as parents, you got to survive. I took my daughter to get immunized. She had to get jerk.
No, sometimes, you know, you do good and people don't recognize it at the time. And then, like you say, the other high profile things. But eventually, sometimes you can hang your hat on some of your achievements. Like, I think that even though many people went through torture with the New Providence Road Improvement Project,
yes.
We can say a decade later that it was probably worth what most people went through. Some of it was extreme.
No, that's a perfect point, you know. I'd stepped out of the center when the center raised that to try this. When I mentioned and about BAMSI and I was saying how it was supposed to be, it was a $13 million project, and it ended up over $100 million,
right.
And no board, no meeting, no structure, you know, and nothing get completed, right? And then his counter was, oh, you did the road improvement project that was overrun.
Right.
And I had to step out at the time. I had an emergency, and I listened to it, and this is a perfect example. The road project did have a heavy overrun to it. When we took it over, Prime Minister then, Ingram, made a decision I think was the wisest and the best. You're digging up the road anyway. You know what? Let's fix everything. Because what persons don't realize, and I'm trying to remember it from memory, I think water and sewage was losing something like, was it $7 million a month in water leakage?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know what? We're going to change all the water mains. We run straight down Prince Charles, a 30-inch water main, because rusty water, you couldn't get pressure there.
I remember,
so it wasn't just a road program. He upgraded to that. Then we know about the price and oil. But you're right now, because right now, I can still leave out of east, and it don't take me 2 hours.
Correct.
Just to make it halfway uptown or vice versa. So the value of these hard decisions paid away. And just the savings in leaking water alone in 10 years would pay for the whole road project. But see, we don't see that.
Right.
Because people don't articulate it. And the final point is, because I've looked at it so many times, I said, boy, we need to sue somebody. We had those cast iron pipes, and they were blocked like arteries. And I was saying, I wonder how much people have been catching cancer and don't even know.
Yeah. I'm intimately familiar with the road project.
Oh, see. So bad decisions were made.
Yeah. And sometimes you pay a political price for it.
Oh, and we did pay a political price for it, because all they got to say, they get up the road, they get up the road. We approve in the standard of living.
Say, look at Baha Mar the other day, like, you didn't like all what Christy and them were going through, but we like Baha Mar.
Yeah, yeah.
But so let me ask you this. You're part of the parliamentary caucus. You're in the Senate, and that's going to mean that you contribute to bills, debates, resolutions, X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to the approach. I've watched some of you. I've watched Henfield. I think I've watched everybody, actually. But I'm curious as to the approach, because I definitely see it. I definitely see your parliamentary style more often than not, not in terms of just you guys, but in terms of just political parties, as kind of a follow the leader.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to take the tack that the leader takes. So the leader sets the tone and you kind of back that up. And I do wonder, though, that I see the FNM spending a lot of energy trying to defend some of the decisions they made, particularly the decisions that they're criticized very heavily about by the Progressive Liberal Party, when I don't know that this early on in the game, that energy is worth expending, right? So you're not going to win an argument with 34 MPs when you only have seven MPs to defend your point. And they're cabinet ministers. They have more time. They have a wider platform. They control the Broadcasting Corporation of the Bahamas. They control the proceedings of Parliament. So when I see the FNM spending a lot of time defending decisions made by the FNM, even though they're getting excoriated for them, I don't know that it's the best use of their time. What do you think about your parliamentary strategy moving forward?
I think there's value into that. And a parliamentary strategy is like mathematics. It has fundamentals. Now, there are geniuses who will show that there's a different way to create that same formula. But it is no different. It is about a strategy in and of itself. However, I, for myself, have never been mandated as to what my position is, or quite frankly, to, oh, this is that. Occasionally, somebody may give you some information, say, okay, there's some stuff, or this is how you speak, or whatever else in that regard, because I'm still governed by my conscience. I still hook on the Senate, and my parents will tell you, I'll tell you, I walk away if it doesn't meet my standard, because when I speak from my heart, I speak what I believe. And if you notice me in Parliament, I would normally, I'm humble to say, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know, but this is what I see. Even in the last debate, even fundamental things, you know, I told them straight up in the debate, so listen here, man, Prime Minister Christie, Ingram, them, they above my pay grade. They've only never been Prime Minister. I'll be cautious how I would speak to them, and even now, the now Prime Minister Brave. And if I do, it's only out of context for the truth.
Yeah.
But I respect them now, because only a few persons would have been Prime Minister, a few persons would be Governor General. The strategy that you articulated is also good wisdom, because you are fighting an uphill battle, because it is the honeymoon period and so on and so forth. But it is also a fair strategy that you must not allow the truth of your record to be blown away or discarded. So it's like initially it's a hurricane, so you're just going to hold on and have your anchor in the fact and making sure the record is straight. If you overdo it, you're trying to fight against a hurricane, like you said. But you still must anchor with the truth, because they're going to try to change the narratives.
I get that. If Brave Davis says $1 billion not in the pre-election report account, I expect you to just sit and go, my bad. Right?
Crickets.
$1 billion.
Crickets.
But I don't expect you to keep hammering at something that really is not going to change.
And then you still must remember the context of where the electorate was and their mentality. Hey, you hear people go. They say, man, bro, listen to me, man. Sit down, man. We want to hear nothing from you, whatever else. But you have to realize there are also a base of persons who know better and they want that to be clarified.
Right, absolutely.
Now, as things shift, and you see when you reach into like the 2.5 year mark,
right,
and the honeymoon start going, and they have a track record.
So
in other words, we're stating our track record, because we're the only one now with a track record contextually, that Bravest administration doesn't have a track record yet. They're starting to build one under his administration.
Right, exactly.
And the time to really judge that heavily will be as they go on first year, second year, and you see more things in play. But it is necessary to ensure that they don't hide behind the and disregard the achievements that would have been done, and also the things that they definitely have to ride on in their first 6 months going in, at the least.
No, I mean, I expect you to be a viable opposition. I just, I expect you to strategize, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't expect you to just holler into the wind the whole time. You know, I don't know how far that's going to get you. Because they come with these, so for instance, with the... One of the smart things that happened, despite what Michael Pintar was going to do, when the Minister of Public Works started talking about how $24 million was spent, or $27 million was spent on the baseball stadium, and they're going to need $30 million more to finish it, Pintar immediately wanted to get up and start talking about the baseball stadium, but he was shut down by the speaker saying it's communication. And the best thing he could do is not speak, right? Because the FNM got no blowback on the money that was expended for the baseball stadium, even though there should be some accountability. And Sears and Mario Boleg and the financial secretary and Clint Watson and probably the prime minister at some point too, they're the ones defending having to complete the spend on something that started on the Christie administration and then the FNM spent a lot on. So sometimes it's a blessing that you don't get the retort on these things, because you leave the energy on the government instead of the opposition.
When you come to power, you come to power on a battleship that is already being built. You got to sail the boat and renovate it at the same time. And I think, you know, that's difficult living in a house and renovating it at the same time.
Correct. I've done that.
And so you so you end up having to do, let's use the term, the bad things while you try to fix them. Because it's the law. Mm-hmm. And it's the law until it change. But I'm glad because of the Fiscal Responsibility Act and the restraints that we've put in place to bring about a higher level of accountability, my understanding that they're going to review those stuff, making sure now that these contracts, when they come out, they're going to have to be publicized, et cetera, et cetera. What we did to expand the Freedom of Information Act, it was passed, was never enacted. Just before COVID, we put $1 million in the budget because you just can't enact it. Nobody knows about it. And that is to start training the civil service to understand your office role as related to the Freedom of Information Act. So when Juan goes to water and sewage and he wants certain information, these people are trained to understand that, you know, you just can't diss him and tell him, they get from around here, what do you think this is? You understand what it is. And so that was well on the way. And bringing more restraints and accountability. So what you would have seen because of the acts would have passed right now, all these issues with contract and stuff going on, and the things would cost these blatant overview, the $13 million to $100 million overrun with BAMSI, the overruns with the stadium being, I'm told, positioned in the wrong way, the field and all kind
of
foolishness.
Don't get that one, right?
Now these things will be made public, and it makes things a bit more fair. In that regard. So I'm glad for that actually happening. We know that the House Assembly could become a very bully pulpit in that regard. The rules seem to be what you can get away with, not actually what is written. And so it is still the job of the leader nonetheless, whether he leads a group or whether he leads legion, that he must still stand up in the vanguard of things and still put his foot forward and still fight. So he's like Winston Churchill. At the end of the day, he's standing up and says, listen, there'll be a fight even if you got to throw bricks at you.
I gotcha. Let me ask you this last question about this. This convention, is it for the FNM or is it for the Bahamian people?
That's what I like about it.
Because for huge political parties built on conventions, the FNM and PLP lately don't like conventions that much.
Yeah, what I like about the convention in and of itself, and let me help the people about it, we're not just speaking to FNM. Like I said, the job of the leadership is not only to relate to his crew with on the inside, his leadership, or just the FNM, but also relate overall to the public. And with the theme that we have going forward, which is Forward United and honoring our past and celebrating our achievement and charting our future, that is inclusive of all. I do believe that I know for a fact the FNM have a very strong base. I know for a fact that the Bahamian people are angry, but I know for a fact they ain't going over to the PLP. You can tell it from the vote.
They stayed home.
Okay, so in other words, 6,000 of them more than they had the last time when they were blown out went over to the PLP. So in other words, something about our methodology in terms of getting things done differently, and you'll find little issues in all government. Them tend to be a little more structured in terms of the slackness. And that we find persons that are still there. So we need to also reach out to them. And so in the structure of the overall convention, you will see that there are designated times, actually the chunk of the times where we have the general public. I'll give you an example. On Tuesday, the day, we have the delegates coming in, and meaning the family out of the delegates. They're going to be going to the headquarters, getting registered, et cetera, et cetera. That Wednesday morning as well, making sure they get their necessary paraphernalia and their credentials for the convention. On Wednesday, which is tomorrow, they're going to be the opening at 7:30. They'll broadcast to everybody else. But it will be open to the delegates and to the general public. So the general public, from the beginning and the opening, they could also come in. And you will see every night of this convention, it's going to be open up to the general public. So on that Thursday, we're going to have the business session. Obviously, that's going to be delegates in that regard. But then Thursday night, you're going to see another live broadcast and you're welcome to come. The general public is welcome on Thursday night as well. And then you see the same thing is going to happen again on Friday in that morning session. There's going to be the election of the delegates, et cetera, et cetera. But at that evening session, obviously that'll be when everybody's announced and all that other stuff.
Right.
You're going to see that's open for the general public as well.
Okay.
So every day of this convention, the key parts of it is open to the general public to come to Atlantis and take a part of that. And I need to extend it too, because on Sunday, we're going to have a Thanksgiving service at 10 a.m. At New Destiny Baptist Church in Glastonbury. Guess what? That's open to the public too. So if you think the FNM needs some oil and laying on the hands, come and pray with us. You need to do whatever's, come and pray with us. Whatever you feel, you are welcome at every part. But it's about you.
Yeah. Well, we'll certainly be covering the convention, and we're interested to see what comes out of it. And it's been good talking to you. Good to see you again.
Man,
people don't know this,
it.
But Ramming is my old bone fishing buddy.
Yeah.
We
can have some fun, man. Appreciate you. I can't wait to meet the kids, bro.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah. Tell them they're like my, you know, I'm a Snuffleupagus, my imaginary friend. You never get to see. I always heard about them. It's like, all right, Fazam has no kids because I haven't seen them personally, and I don't trust nobody anymore nowadays. So
we
got to have some fun. Appreciate you. You know what? And let me end with this one. I appreciate, and you know, I don't say things loosely. I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your objectivity. I hear it. You don't mind if I use call you the word of God. I think you're a double-edged sword, and that's not in the negative sense, meaning you cut in the direction both ways where you need to cut.
Thanks. I try to be fair.
And you try your best. And even if someone perceives you wrong, you could tell by listening to you, you're speaking from a position of conviction and your knowledge. And if they bring you better information, I've seen you actually retract. And that's a high standard that we need in journalism in that regard. And I want people to know journalists are partisan, meaning everybody have a choice when they go in that box.
Right.
But when you're doing your job, you're just doing your job, man.
Right. Be fair, be balanced.
What is what is. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but thank you so much for taking the time. And I want persons to realize every night is open to the general public. We want you to be a part. We want you to listen. We want you to tune in. We'd love to see you there.
Excellent. All right. Senator Ruben Ramming, ladies and gentlemen, we got to go to a break. And we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
There's only one way to have a better morning. Start your mornings the best way with our 2 for $6 breakfast sandwiches at Wendy's. For a limited time, choose any two of your favorite breakfast sandwiches, including the fresh crack and sack muffin, honey buttermilk chicken biscuit, double sausage muffin, or the sausage egg and cheese biscuit. Wash it all down with our cold brew shake or coffee. Better mornings always start at Wendy's. Wendy's, different inside and out. Excludes airport locations.
Join the Nassau Guardian as we celebrate International Women's Day, Tuesday, March 8th, 2022. This global day is celebrating the historical, cultural, and political achievements of women in the Bahamas and around the world. Join us as we celebrate and recognize the outstanding Bahamian women in religion, politics, sports, national security, business, education, and community affairs. For more information, call the Nassau Guardian at 302-2300 or call your account executive. But join us as we celebrate women's achievements, raise awareness against bias during International Women's Day, Tuesday, March 8th, 2022.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. All right, we only got a couple minutes before the break, so we'll just kind of try to look at your text messages and go from there. But we do have some stuff to talk about because this issue with the subdivision act and approvals and conveyances, some of y'all are screwed. I think I'm okay. I'm fairly certain that I'm okay. A lot of people are going to be screwed. All right, we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's see what the text message says. It says, the earth is not moving closer to the sun. This is for me? The what? Was Quincy talking about the earth moving closer to the sun in the last show? Was that a thing? I didn't hear that. No, the earth isn't moving closer to the sun. It is, in fact, moving farther away from the sun because the sun is a red dwarf star. It's losing mass as it expends more energy, and therefore the gravitational pull of the earth is weakening. And so the gravitational pull of the sun on the earth is weakening. And so the earth appears to, according to scientists, be moving farther away in distances that are barely perceptible. So like a couple of inches a year. So it'll take like millions of years for the earth to move far enough away from the sun so that we're all in peril. But as I've explained to you before, the universe is in a state of expansion, and it will eventually, according to physicists, once it's done expanding, seek to collapse in on itself and we'll all be gone. But anyway, I don't know what Quincy was talking about, but okay. One F&M, F&M, or nothing. All right, that's got to be for me. All right, this says, I'm happy someone is speaking about coals and deforestation. They were talking about coals and deforestation and the Earth's proximity to the sun in the last show, clearly. It says, hi, Juan. Mr. Ramming is really PM material. All right, I'll let him know what you said. This says, Mr. Ramming, I know you started the Bamboo Boulevard paving and Mr. LaRota is completing it. It was needed. All right. This says, so basically they didn't do anything for the Freedom of Information Act except waste money. Spending money without results is waste. I'm not going to say they didn't do anything for the Freedom of Information Act. They appointed an information commissioner, and he's there. He says this is a years-long process, so he says. And they're now trying to source staff. We heard from him a few months ago. And they're trying to set up the office of the information commissioner. And once that's set, then we could start to see some forward movement on the Freedom of Information Act. I want to be real with you. I have my doubts on how effective the Freedom of Information Act will be once fully implemented here, given the constraints on a lot of it. This says, the problem with the F&M is they refused to say Minnis was a poor leader, and the same people who chose Minnis chose their other leaders, so they haven't really made a change because their council agreed with Minnis' behavior. Even now, they're going on and on about VAT on bread basket items while forgetting they essentially double VAT when they won. They will say anything to win. I'm sorry, do we have a minute? I want to address this, actually. Or maybe I should do it on the other side, right? So, I don't work for the PLP, but I'll say this. And I know people are saying that, telling the F&Ms, this is a winning argument, I'm telling you. The grocers are saying it. Removing VAT off bread basket items is not going to help you that much. And I particularly don't think if you raise VAT back to 12% and remove VAT off bread basket items, you would see that much of a difference. The reality is this. Does VAT on bread basket items increase the cost of bread basket items? Undoubtedly, right? Does that mean if we remove that from breadbasket items, your overall grocery bill is going to go down. Highly doubt that for two reasons. Other things would still have attracted a higher percentage of VAT had it not changed. A, and that's less important than B. B, inflation in the United States is transferred to the Bahamas because we don't make or grow enough stuff. And 98% of what we consume is imported. And as long as there's inflation on those goods in the United States and there's inflation on oil and shipping costs and supply chain issues, the cost of stuff is going to go up. So I don't agree with the argument, and I'm willing to be wrong, that taking VAT of breadbasket items is going to save you at all. What I'm extraordinarily concerned about is the capacity for it to say nothing to do with breadbasket items, is the or VAT. Per se, the capacity for BPL to maintain its hedging strategy. Because other than firing Pamela Hill and PowerSecure and some other things that happened, that's the best thing that BPL's done in since it was formed. All right? The hedging strategy. To the extent that they can continue that, I'm happy. Oil is at a 7-year high. It may go back down soon. It may not. If summer hits and we can't hold on to our hedging strategy, right, or afford it, or make the necessary deals, your light bills are going to skyrocket. And I, for one, don't want that. I'm very happy that my light bill is now hovering around $300. And I don't want to see that change. I'm sorry. I've gone on too long. Let's go to the break, and we'll be back.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. All right, make sure you check out today's Nassau Guardian. We got our Grand Bahama section talking about what's going on with the airport and airlift. And we get the headline story, Life in a Tent, which we'll get to in a minute. But I want to tell you about something that's also interesting. And the level of blind idiocy that must have taken place for this to occur. And we also want to tell you about the Privy Council ruling. And I didn't get to this yesterday. This notion that, I guess it was Fred Mitchell, who's saying that a sick out on Friday cost the government $7 million in revenue. I don't believe that. That sounds like some sort of linear calculation where you just go, we collect this much revenue a year and one day would cost us this kind of revenue. I don't believe they lost $7 million. Where did it go? That it's gone now? Think about it, right? If you're not there to collect the money today, you'll be there the next day. All right? And further to that, government revenue doesn't all come in like that. Oh, we got this much one day. You know what I mean? It's this much over average days. There's different, there's ebbs and flows, you know? Anyway, whatever. I don't believe that. I think they're just trying to defer your payment. But Mitchell's hardcore. I don't doubt it. All right. I saw Mitchell when I went to get my peanuts from Mortimer's. And I was like, did you hear about what happened at the OPM? This was when Clint was like telling everybody the Defense Force put the cones out there. And we, you know. The Prime Minister, who appoints a Defense Force Commodore, he doesn't have control over it. Anyway, and I saw Mitchell, and I was like, did you hear what happened at OPM? He was like, yeah. Someone was complaining to me about it. And I was like, I can't come up to you at the OPM, but you're in Mortimer's buying peanuts, and I just walk right in. Like, what? What is the threat level assessment difference at Mortimer's on East Hill Street? Shout out to Mortimer's, by the way. And at the office of the Prime Minister that's crawling with police and Defense Force officers. I don't get it. Although Mitchell did have a guy in there with him. And there was another guy by the car. So they may have been trained assassins for all I know. But he said he doesn't get it. He said, I don't get it. I don't think he cares. I think he's like, whatever. Y'all are on y'all alone. All right, so I don't believe that calculation. I'm sorry. I could be wrong. All right. Now, I want to tell you this story before I tell you about anything else at the Privy Council. I don't mean to shortchange anything else. You guys help me understand how this works. And listen, I'm under no illusions, yes? Like many of you, I have deeply rooted psychological issues, right? Not as deep as many of you, but like many of you, I too have issues, right? And I acknowledge them. I try to deal with them. My preferred method of addressing my psychological issues is to wall myself off from everybody as opposed to really change. But maybe you can help me understand this. All right. Man who smuggled gun into country through a courier company, jail for 5 years. Not the jail for 5 years part. That I understand perfectly well. Let me read this for you. This is from R.T.C. Davis. A man who smuggled 8 guns and 85 rounds of ammunition into the country through a courier company was yesterday sentenced to 5 years in prison. 8 guns and 85 rounds of ammunition. This says Keith Higgs will spend an additional year behind bars if he doesn't pay a $20,000 fine by the completion of his 5-year-long prison term. How are you supposed to pay the fine if you're in prison? Anyway, Higgs' girlfriend, Abigail Nelson, who collected the contraband from the courier company, was sentenced to 2 years in prison. The pair had denied the firearms trafficking charges when they made their initial appearance before Magistrate Samuel McKinney. Higgs pleaded guilty to possession of firearms and ammunition with intent to supply, conspiracy to import firearms and ammunition, and possession of a prohibited weapon. Nelson pleaded guilty to possession of firearms and ammunition with intent to supply. Police raided the couple's home in White's Addition off Kemp Road on February 7th, soon after the contraband was collected. The prosecutor, Inspector Timothy Bain, told the court that officers took up surveillance at Dash Express on East Street around 8 a.m. on the day in question. The officers followed the suspects to their home at Cape Street after they collected the boxes and seized a 7.62 assault rifle, three 40 caliber pistols, three 9mm pistols, and a 22 pistol with, along with 85 rounds of ammunition of various caliber. When questioned at the Criminal Investigation Department, Higgs told officers that he had agreed to collect the firearms that his cousin had shipped by courier. In her interview, Nelson said Higgs asked her to collect the package for him. Defense lawyer Wendon Miller Frazier asked the court to show leniency, as both defendants were remorseful and redeemable. All right. Keith Higgs, I don't know you. Abigail Nelson, I don't know you. I gotta ask you, what were y'all thinking? Like, how did this, when y'all were hatching this plan, right? By the way, I was gonna give you 20 years for all them guns, but that's just me. What are you gonna do with an assault rifle? Hunt pigeons? Let's be serious, okay? As much murder and death as we have around here. So when y'all were hatching this plan, right? Kermie, walk me through it. This would never happen, ever. But let's just pretend you and I are sitting around and we're talking about smuggling guns, right? So I'm going to say, hey, man, I got a connect in the States, right? Let's have him put an assault rifle and seven other guns, right? Let's have him ship them through a regular courier service. I'm going to say that to you. I got a guy. He's going to go Miami, whatever, right? And he's going to put the guns in boxes, like cereal boxes or, well, assault rifle, not that big box. And we're going to ship them through the regular courier service. And you, Kermit, are going to say to me, you're drunk, go to bed, right? There's no way in hell you'll ever get a gun through a courier service and get away with it. And I'm going to say, I think this can happen. So I'm going to have my contact ship the guns. And in my head, I imagine that this is what happened. And then I'm going to tell my girlfriend to go pick up the guns. So immediately, my girlfriend, as soon as she picks up the guns, she is guilty of possession of an unlicensed firearm and ammunition. And you'd have to kind of determine intent, but I'm assuming your intent's to sell them if there are numerous guns, right? So you're automatically guilty. Each one of these charges can carry up to 7 years. So in my head, I'm sending my girlfriend for the guns. When I know for a fact that every single package that goes through a courier that has to be checked by Bahamas Customs is opened, photographed, and invoiced. I know this, right? And I'm going to go pick up the gun. I'm going to send her to pick up the guns, right? And she's going to bring the guns back to my house. So I'm sitting on 8 illegal firearms that are unlicensed and 85 rounds of unlicensed ammunition. And of course the police have been watching me this entire time, right? And the police are going to come to my house and I'm going to go, well, I was just picking up these guns for my cousin. And that's your defense at CID. Right? Well, it was my cousin's guns. Let's substitute gun for cocaine, right? So I'm found with the cocaine, which is completely illegal, and under no circumstance am I allowed to have it. And I'm going to say, well, it was my cousin's cocaine. And he's going to come along any minute now and say it was his cocaine. And it's going to be fine, right? This has to be the worst thought out plan for a criminal enterprise that I've seen in a long time. I don't understand it. How could you not know that they were going to catch you with these guns? This is not the way. Remember that from Mandalorian? Didn't watch Mandalorian? Boba Fett? Book of Boba Fett? No? All right. I don't understand. Okay? Maybe one of you can help me. It says, there are many others doing the same thing, using companies to bring in drugs, guns, and ammunition. But you got to know your time's going to run out with that, right? You must know that you're eventually, that's not going to work. Well, how can you understand 5 years for 8 guns? No, I mean, I understand that they're now in prison. That part's not hard for me to grasp. Certainly, they could have received more time. I don't believe in all this concurrent sentence stuff. But 5 years is no easy stretch. But I think with the level of criminality we have and armed robberies on the rise, like Paul Roll was saying, and, you know, murders are trending upward and all this, we can't have any tolerance at any level of the justice system or leniency, let me say, because this clearly the judge was on their run. This says that should be 5 years per gun. The lawmakers are the problem. The police are doing their jobs. These whatless lawmakers are complicit with criminals. Give these criminals hard time and stop lollygagging around. I feel like cussing. Before you cuss, let me help you understand. Remember I said we're going to do civics? I'm not trying to knock you, man or lady. I just want you to understand, before you cuss, we have to understand how this works. The magistrate's court is only allowed to sentence you for any crime that is under the remit of the magistrate's court for a maximum of 7 years. To get more time, you have to go to the Supreme Court. Can you be charged in the Supreme Court with possession of an assault rifle and 7 other illegal firearms? Yes, you can. All right? That's not something for the lawmakers to do, though. All right? That's just a function of how the court system works. So if the prosecution wants to have the case adjudicated in a magistrate's court, which is often a much quicker process because you don't need a jury, and a magistrate hears the case and determines innocent or guilt. Innocence, well, determines you're innocent until proven guilty. The magistrate hears the case. All right? You can have many of these cases disposed more quickly, as opposed to have it in the Supreme Court, which is extraordinarily clogged, and they can opt for a jury trial as well, which is even more difficult to get a conviction with. All right? So it's not the lawmakers. Now, you may have an issue with Magistrate Samuel McKinney, all right, who is a judge. He doesn't make laws. He adjudicates cases and follows the law when handing down a sentence if the person is guilty. You could talk to Samuel McKinney about whether you feel that's enough time going on or what justification he made and what considerations may have went into his determination. But I promise you, if you start handing down wild and unobtainable sentences that judges are reluctant to give or that can be overturned in the court of appeal that are unreasonable and possibly unconstitutional, you're going to get more problems than you're able to solve. So I understand you're upset and you want to cuss. I get it. But make sure you're cussing for the right reason. It says, there are no peanuts at the PM's office to protect them. After all, peanuts can be lethal. Yeah. Mitchell, I know, right? I just roll right up on him. What? These cabinet ministers don't care? The MPs don't care? They don't care? It says, one, they're so dumb, every last one of the local courier companies opens the packages because the invoice submitted by clients are usually fraudulent, and the shipping companies then charge you the correct Amazon price. Right. It says, with all these crimes going down with firearms, I think it's a slap on the wrist. Certainly our system is not serious on gun violence, which is causing havoc on our society. Whether they pleaded guilty or not, an example needs to be made to send a strong message of no tolerance. And that's fine. You can make that argument. No problem. She wasn't going to get more than two. I can tell you that. That's just me. This says, Juan, please put some pressure on roads and parks. This chairman definitely doesn't know what he's doing. People with legitimate contracts can't get their money. They owe you for months, then come back asking you for all sorts of foolishness. This chairman just seems disrespectful and spiteful. Please pay us our money. He has no love for the poor people. This is the first time in history we've been treated this way. No one cares about the PLP and F&M nonsense. Pay us today. Chairman is Mikhail Bonaby, Roads and Parks. Yep. Says, was the shipping company charged? Doubt it. The shipping company is more than likely who called the police. That's who I'm going to call. You ain't getting me mixed up in that. I'm going to call the cops straight away. It says, one man, you have me cracking up, LOL, I agree with you. The plan certainly wasn't thought out properly, or unless there are some people working on the inside, you never know. I'm so afraid of illegal guns. Of all the crimes, right, that I've seen committed, reading court cases about, the easiest to convict on, and where you usually will get convicted, is illegal firearms, no matter what your station is. And the last time, the elderly gentleman in Abaco, right, who was wiling out, who had the gun that wasn't the guns that weren't licensed, they gave him a fine, and the Court of Appeal said, no, go put him in prison. The only guns I see, this is the same Court of Appeal. I'm not trying to throw shade on you, Court of Appeal. You know I rate you. This is the same Court of Appeal who released a man last week who was charged in 2009 for faking a homosexual date with a Burger King manager, picking him up, kidnapping him, okay, taking him back to the Burger King to open the safe. And when he couldn't open the safe, the man who was charged with the crime allegedly cut his throat and then stabbed him and left him to die. All right? And because there was an issue at trial that they brought to Court of Appeal said, release him. It's unlikely that he'll get a fair trial after 13 years. That's what happens a lot. I'm not saying the guy did it. I'm just saying he was being held for it and that he was previously convicted of it, and there was a pretty detailed story given about what happened. No, I don't think the shipping company was charged. No. Okay, this is some from further back. My eyes and ears are slowly closing each time this human says, please save me from this torture. Are you talking about ramming? I like ramming. Like as a human, you know. Hey, McCartney, really and truly, if you take your vehicle to a mechanic shop, but the problem isn't fixed, it actually is worse. Would you take it back even? These people are fakey, greedy, haughty, out of touch, and going out of their mind. Please, next time, bring on some 7th graders to impress me. Okay. It says, neither major party has a base large enough to win more than 5 seats. Label safe seats by each party. Swing voters determined the outcome of 4 consecutive elections in a drastic way and removed everyone else. Yeah, and you could also make the contention that voter apathy and voter staying home also determined the last election. Juan Hunt should drop out of the F&M convention race. The F&M should be concerned about the image it will project if she's elected. Okay. We're going to talk about Dorian, right? We talked about the guy in the tent. Hold on to that thought. This says, I know you get things done. Can you read this text to inform the Ministry of Public Works? There's a 3-foot by 3-foot square gap on a northbound Milo Butler Highway that needs to be paved. A driver has to maneuver every day. It's been there for months, and I'm certain someone from Ministry of Works lives in the southwest. Thank you, sir. No, you're quite welcome. I'm pretty sure everyone who works for traffic at Public Works is on Village Road. And I'm not going to complain. I washed my car several days ago, and because of the dust and digging up on Village Road, it got dirty a few days later. I'm not going to complain that people with these busted 30-year-old cars are driving like they got a Maybach and they don't want the inch deep dip where the utility companies have been digging in the roads, damage their car that looks like it shouldn't be licensed to drive. I'm not going to complain that the water pressure is low at night. I'm not going to complain about it. Fix Village Road. It's terrible. In fact, save your money. Don't even clean the verges until they're done with Village Road. Just fix the blasted road once and for all. I'd really appreciate it. But yeah, Milo Butler, that's a thing too. It says the F&M cannot move forward until Hubert Minnis is out of Parliament. Okay. This says R.E. Wait, this says, that's not for you. Some caller called Quincy after 52 called about blind again to say scientists went to one pole and reported the Earth was moving closer to the sun. Well, you know, I'm sorry that I'd have to hear 52 say that and then explain that to me. The Earth is not moving closer to the sun at all. Considering possibly it's not flat. This says, R.E. Ryan Pinder's statement, of course there won't be any criminal prosecution for developing a subdivision with proper controls in place. Why would there be? Everybody knows by now that only the coconut vendors need to follow the law. Developing subdivisions is a good thing, after all, and the ends always justify the means in Narnia. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. My suggestion to the government of the day, go fix the law. And as far as criminal prosecutions for... selling land that doesn't have subdivision approval. I mean, maybe he's saying that because he's familiar with the tenets of the law. I'd have to look at that and see. There may be a prescription for a criminal charge. I don't know. So that's the only reason I would think he could be saying that, is that the law doesn't prescribe a criminal charge. A lot of people are going to be screwed. We're going to talk about it. Let's take this call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
McCartney.
If the government doesn't act. Hi.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
No, that gun case, right? I look at it as like, they went to the states. The states is full of undercover ATF and informers. So they know what was in the box. They locked up the people over there and sent it through. So our police are waiting to be people who pick it up. To me. I sent many packets to the mail. They don't open it up. But I believe they were the ATF know who's the gun seller over there, and they just watch it. That's all it is. And one, Jamaica, the first month this year, because they had 100 people was killed.
Uh-huh.
Jamaica Prime Minister now changed the law, 15-year minimum to life. So if you Google Jamaica new gun law, you see hopeless under so much pressure that they are murdering left, right, and center. But our government got to change the law, 15 minimum. And if you're a bad criminal, you go to jail for life. That's how. And one, this land thing, this is our stock market or IPO. My mother bought land before the road was cut for like $4,000 and $2,000. Winton, she bought 3 pieces at $40,000 a piece. Now there was $200,000. But that's how the man was able to build the road. But he had plenty of cash. See, the first one to the water get the good price a lot. That's how it worked then. Did you know about that?
I didn't know about that. Yeah. Okay. No. All right. It says 52 didn't say it. The caller after 52 said it. He was following on 52's messaging about us being ignorant on data and mentioned his son theory. I credit Quincy for not rolling over laughing. Why would the Earth be moving closer to the sun? Help me with that one. I don't understand that at all, given what I know about the way the sun works. It says no one. They won't charge anyone because these people are untouchable, right? And the reason that they are. Oh, you're talking about the land thing. I don't know that there's a criminal prescription in the law. All right. It says the old law and the new law dealing with subdivisions both said it is a criminal offense to sell or agree to sell, convey or agree to convey land in subdivisions that have no subdivision approval. That's from a lawyer. Okay, then I don't understand why Ryan Pinder would say that. At all. Yeah. I don't understand why he would say there wouldn't be criminal prosecution. Like I said, the only way you could really say, because if, guess what, if I have a complaint against you and there's a criminal prescription in law, I'm going to go make a complaint. And I feel I've been wronged, or there's some sort of fraud or something that went on, I'm going to go complain to the police. All right? And the Roy Obama's police force, as far as I'm aware, and the director of public prosecutions, as far as I've been told, and looking at my handy constitution right here, is independent. They're independent of the Attorney General's office. So I'd have to understand why Ryan Pinder was saying that and what question he was responding to. Who asked Michael Darvel the question about vaccination sites at schools? Anyway, we spent far too much time on this gun story. I don't understand what you people are doing. Why are you selling AK-47s? Listen, I understand. I get it, right? Things are difficult, but the effort that you've put into your criminal gun enterprise, you and your girlfriend now who are in prison, and the time you're going to spend in prison and the money it's going to cost you for lawyers and the fine and all this other stuff like that, really, you could have found something else to do. I know it's difficult. I'm going to tell you about the guy in Abaco who's living in a tent. Not that I'm saying you should be living in a tent. But if this man can find work every day in Murphytown, you can do something in Nassau. All right? The panhandling sector is oversubscribed, but there's something you can do that's not going to land you in prison, where you have a whole different set of issues to deal with other than it's hard to find work. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Juan, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, it's been a long time since I've been on this station, but that was because I was dealing with my father's death.
I'm so sorry your father died. My condolences.
Yeah, but
that's a
I'm
rough
back
one.
Again. Thank yeah. you, Juan. My question to you is what do you think about the current government performance, number one?
Mm-hmm.
And another question I have for you, Juan. As we're moving forward in this country, Juan, there's a statement that there's government's going to be giving out some taxi plates and tour plates or whatever, bus plates, I don't know. The PLP government is going to be doing that. There are so many plates on the road right now.
Yeah, I know.
How does this affect? I mean, I know they're trying to do what they can to help people, but at the same time, is this effective? Because in doing something like that, now you're going to have a bunch of taxi drivers not being able to make quota because of all these plates on the road. And then I'm hoping that the government does something like this. Monitor the people who already have plates and stop giving them plates. You know, your favorite, your sweethearts and your cousins and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. That's all I want to say, Juan. I want to hear what you have to say afterwards.
Okay, sure. All right. I don't know about the taxi plates or the tour plates. I've heard that. I don't know what is true. As far as the performance of the current administration, I want to see a bit more action. I'm about the action, right? So we're going on 6 months now, and I'm kind of past the fact-finding stage and more into the action stage. And I want to see more action as opposed to just what you're still finding out. So, for instance, and I will say this as nicely as I can, with regard to the Disaster Reconstruction Authority, I like all the tea, yes, all the business, all the information that's coming out about alleged mismanagement. I am very interested in it. I will talk about it when you put it out there. We will publish stories about it, okay? But at the same time, it can be going on 6 months, and we still talking about what might or might not have gone down with the Disaster Reconstruction Authority. Now, if you got a guy to just talk about doing that, I don't got a problem. Like, maybe I got a PR guy or, like, a board member, right? But somebody, and I don't know if this isn't happening, but it needs to happen faster, somebody needs to have their full-time job be mobilizing reconstruction efforts on Grand Bahama and Abaco now, like yesterday. Like this, oh my God, I can't believe it happened. We're past that point. All right, for that to be the sole focus, we need an action plan and we need to get cracking. So I'm hearing a little bit lately too much, here's what we're looking at that went down. I want to know that. But you got to walk and chew gum at the same time. You got to be fixing the issues as well. And I'm hearing some of that, but not as much as I'd like. We got to go to a break. We'll be back.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with a loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
We believe in relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our clients. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com. Visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau, or 352-6676 for Freeport.
Fidelity, we're good for you. At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them 242-356-0249.
Good day, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services. How may I help you today?
Hey, listen, I just heard about you online.
Yes, sir. How may I help you, sir?
I hear you're giving out free things. And I'm a mom with 12 children. I love free things.
Well, yes, sir. If you're ordering with Airborne Freight and Cargo Services for the first time, we will be giving you prizes just for shipping with us.
Hold on, wait. What are y'all giving out, sir?
Well, we're giving away gas vouchers, coupons from various outlets, up to 20% off your shipping fee, and so much more.
Could y'all please stop slamming my door? None of y'all pay no bills inside you. Sorry about that, Mom. Hey, y'all is shipped double shoulders because this woman expecting twins again, Dred.
Airborne Freight and Cargo Services. Get rewarded for being a new customer on top of our already low rates. Call us at 377-0450 or visit us on Facebook at Ship Airborne for more information.
Burger King Nassau is taking spice to new heights with the new Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken sandwiches. Enjoy your choice of a flame-grilled Whopper or a crispy chicken filet topped with chipotle sauce, guacamole, jalapenos, cheese, lettuce, and tomato, all on a fresh potato bun. The new Baja sandwiches at Burger King Nassau pack plenty of flavor, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings, it's the perfect way to fill your day. The Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken sandwich are only available at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Children are a blessing and should be treated with love and care. They deserve safe, stable, and nurturing relationships, a supportive family environment, and positive social networks. Mothers, fathers, teachers, aunties, uncles, neighbors, Bahamas, let's do our part to stop the physical, sexual, and mental abuse of our children. Make the calls, file the reports, save precious lives. Let's join hands and hearts and say no more to child abuse. This message was brought to you by CFAL. Growing wealth for future generations.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Good to have you with us. It says, Juan, what are you talking about? Their lawyer said they were working. Did I read wrong? Who, the gun smugglers? Well, you didn't read that in The Guardian. Their lawyer didn't say anything about working in this story. Maybe you read it or saw a different story or read a different story. All right, someone sent me the Privy Council ruling here. This says the there's definitely a criminal penalty in here. So this is the purpose of the act. Da, 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 da. Yeah, it has criminal penalties. It says, no lot shall be sold, agreed to be sold, conveyed, agreed to be conveyed, demised, or agreed to be demised in any subdivision that does not receive subdivision approval by the committee in accordance with the provisions of this Act. Section 61 of the 2010 Act. Any person who contravenes the provisions of Part 5 of this Act which includes Section 49(1), which I just read to you, shall be liable on summary conviction to a fine of $20,000 or imprisonment for 1 year. Yeah, Brian Pinder's speaking out of turn. Yeah, there are criminal penalties in the 2010 Act. Restriction on selling or disposing of lots in new subdivision. No owner shall sell, agree to sell, convey, agree to convey, demise, or agree to demise any land in a new subdivision until the approval of the minister has been given under Section 4 of this Act. Okay, so this is the Private Roads and Subdivision Out Islands Act, which was repealed by the 2010 Subdivisions Act. So the former act, all right, and the latter act both have criminal penalties. In fact, the new act seems to have stronger penalties than the old act. Any person contravening the provisions of Section 5 of this Act shall be guilty of an offense against this Act and shall be liable on summary conviction to a fine not exceeding $4,000, and in the case of a continuing offense, to a further fine not exceeding $40 for each day during which such contravention continues. Okay, one of the reporters is telling me the question he was asked when he said that was referring to attorneys, if there's criminal prosecution for attorney. Why would attorney? Oh, okay, that's fair. That it's good to know he's talking about attorneys, but why would an attorney be exempt from criminal prosecution if the attorney was the one who conveyed it? The reporter said, what does this mean, given that attorneys are the ones who are supposed to check on these matters? Well, I don't know that, well, it would be up to a judge, but if the attorney's signing off on the land or owns the land, there's a strong case that there could be a criminal violation of the act. Ryan Pinder should revisit that. I would say so. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to have to disagree with Ryan Pinder. I mean, he knows a lot more about the law than me, but that seems pretty clear. Anyway, we go to the phone lines. That's fine. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan. How you doing, my brother?
I'm great. How's it going?
More is good, man. More is good. Juan, I tell you, you guys, you and Dwight, them, you all are the independence babies. It's your time. Don't let them go to school. You're your time. We need to send all them women 27. Everybody who's 75 and 76, I got shame on them. The Christian Council, you all your ones. Come on, land, taxi plate, bus plate, when they're baby people. See, my thing is, Dwight, see, and when people call our country grow up, people get mad. You know, we grew up, you know. But, the former prime minister made a mistake when he
called the we corrupt? We is a pretty broad term, my brother. I don't know about we.
No. But when I say we, I just speak it in general. Because you know where I'm coming from. Because we still got some good people in this country, my brother. Trust me, we got some good Christian people in this country. And loyal people, some good civil servants. See, anybody who goes, see... So living for them was a lawyer. Mr. Hubert Ingram, Mr. Faye Christie, Mr. Brave, David got a chance to change a lot of things in this country, you know. He got to fix a lot of things in this country. He can fix it. Let's go and do it, man. Let's go and govern and do it. Let's step forward with the lay. They go and pass my pass law for lawyers, pass law for accountants, pass law for everybody besides the small business people. We can't gamble in the casino. We can't get a license hand, can't protect the business. Huh? The mother's time, husband got 5 years. He should get 105 years.
Yeah, I mean, 105 years, okay. It says, why does the registry not check this before registering these documents? Which registry? I think one of the huge complaints about that lawyers have in this country is that there's not an official land registry. That's part of the problem. It says, ain't no lawyers going to jail on this matter. Pinder, those are all in one. Well, It says, remember though, Juan, while the act might prescribe penalties, the AG can always issue a nolle prosequi. Yeah, I suppose. It says, those people never binge-watched all three seasons of Narcos. A first thing they would have known is that you pay off someone in customs and have a connect on the police force. Lord, bring the 80s back. Or, just me, don't smuggle assault rifles. That's, you know, maybe a simpler alternative. Just thinking it through here. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How's it going?
I'm going fine, thank you. Lewis, I want to speak to a couple of the matters, including this matter involving the pretty coincidental ruling with Therapy Point on Exuma. This matter is going to open up, just like Attorney Finley said in the news last night, one whole heap of worms, because it's not just the real estate company selling the property who is involved in this entire chain. It's the government of the Bahamas who is also involved in this chain that is legitimizing matters that are ultra-virus to the law by allowing for land that has not been given proper subdivision approval to be recorded in its registry in the first place. There's also the insurance companies that are going to be responsible if the government does not act from a legislative perspective to cough up a whole ton of money for individuals who could then legitimately, based on this ruling from the Privy Council, turn around and sue to get the amount value of their property at today's rate, right? Based on being sold land that never had the adequate or proper subdivision approval. And so insurance companies are going to be up the creek in this mess as well as those individuals who would have been responsible for executing the conveyances for these properties. Maybe not so much them when you look at the penalties, but certainly the people on the back end who would have to pay the insurance costs. And so at the end of the day, like an attorney, Pillar didn't go into all of that stuff, but I'm gathering with him being an experienced attorney, these are some of the matters that he was referring to that would express this is a terrible conundrum, and the government is going to have to address it because it is also guilty in this entire situation. Something else I wanted to speak to, one, as it relates to the senator, I hear people calling in off the cuff. I want to show something off the cuff as well as it relates to the upcoming elections of the FNM, right, for all of the other positions. Can I?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. Thank you. I heard one of the prospective persons vying for deputy leader was on your colleague's show yesterday, I think it was, and he is stating, or day before, whatever it was, he is stating that, yesterday was Monday, he is stating that they have a glorious consul, right? What they call it? Meritorious consul. However, within their own constitution, they have very little respect for their meritorious consul members, and they broke their own constitution by simply going in and ejecting all of those persons, as they did already under their previous leader, Hubert Minnis, who he found or who he felt did not support him. Although those individuals were legitimately elected to be meritorious council members. And so they have a party, one, in the finality, they have a party that does not even respect their own constitution, which should have been the first signaling of what they would have represented when they came to government under Hubert Minnis. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless. I wish our Pentad all the best.
Okay, so a couple of things. How are attorneys who execute conveyances off the bloody hook for land that does not have subdivision approval? Riddle me that, because according to the Privy Council, they are in error, not the registry. The attorney's job is to check to make sure there's clear title, that there's subdivision approval, i.e. a site plan. And the only reason I can see that slipping through the cracks, if you don't have someone as militaristic as, say, a bank lending you that money to make sure there ain't no issue. Because Malik Morin is out $1 million bloody dollars because somebody screwed up. All right? So, me, it ain't no the lawyer off the hook and what the registry do. In a registry, you the lawyer. I'm going to sue you. Like Christina Galanos and Obi Pinlin sued February Point on behalf of Malik Morin. So I don't know what you're talking about, Anton. If you have purchased property in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, as I have, if you've inherited property, as I'm inheriting, you have to have subdivision site plan. This ain't no new thing. I had to, for my mother's probate, I had to get the original, hell, I forget what they call it, the bank anyway. The original thing for the bank, a conveyance is a legal term for it. And that was from the 60s, man. Okay? And they had to find it. And in fact, the banking records for land, I was talking to the lawyer about this. I was like, why the hell is this such a difficult process? She was like, the banking records for most of the land is non-existent. And when you go in the past the 70s, right? Up from the 70s. You know what I'm trying to say. Anyway, this is a lot. We could talk about it. It says, I hope these lawyers have liability indemnity assurance. They will need it. Hell yeah. Papa, you ain't going to sign off on no land for me or sell me none of that. I'm going to sue. And I'm going to make a criminal complaint because the law has a prescription for it. But they should change the law in the short term, I would say so, as opposed to repeal the entire act, not to protect people who knowingly sell land without the approval, because that's what's saying happened with February Point. They sold the land knowing that it didn't have subdivision approval. So it's not to protect them, but so as people don't go out. Now, it says lawyers are required to have liability insurance for such matters. If they're sued, they can claim injury. Yeah, you better have some insurance. It says banks are in jeopardy as well because they now have no collateral. Yes, one of the lawyers. The old law was a 1965 statute, Private Roads and Subdivision Act 1965. Yeah, so y'all gonna have to fix it. It's gonna be a major, major problem. All right, that's all the time we got. Catch you guys tomorrow, Lord willing. Have a great day, Bahamas.